Belden, St. Helena, California, July 24, 1901. My dear nephew, you may not be able to comprehend the words I have written you, but I dare not refrain from writing you what is just and true. It grieves me to do this, but when I see you so insensible to your true spiritual condition, I cannot write in a way which will flatter you. I feel greatly burdened over the condition of your family. Had you stood free from egotism and self-exaltation, you would have felt the importance of exerting a savory influence in the home. But your strained ideas in regard to your brethren and yourself have had a very sad influence upon you. Your religious life is more centered in Frank Belden than in Christ. You have an exalted idea of your capabilities, but they are not thus estimated by God. A tree is known by the fruit it bears. You forget that you have been one of the chief workers in the last 12 years in bringing matters to their present shape in the review office. By the grace of God, you could have softened and subdued your hereditary and cultivated tendencies. Then your brethren would have placed you where your time and strength would have been used to the saving of your own soul. But you have exalted yourself. You have devoted your time to political matters as though you were appointed to that work. But what has it all amounted to? Spiritual and temporal poverty. The productions of your pen have been many, but God cannot say of you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25, verse 23. Those who double their talents in the work of saving souls make music for the angelic choir. God does not ask his servants whether they can speak loudly or authoritatively, whether they have eloquence or riches. He asks, "Do they walk in such humility of mind that I can teach them my way? Can I put my words in their lips? Will they reveal my grace? Will they represent me? Will they place themselves under my control? I will visit with the rod those who follow the course condemned by me, and if they do not repent, the candlestick will be moved out of its place." Heaven has been purchased for us at an infinite cost. Those who appreciate heaven and bring its fragrance into this life are obtaining a fitness for life in the presence of God. I feel deeply over your case. I would do all in my power to save you from Frank Belden's dangers, but I must leave you with God. May the Lord give you a clear mind and correct judgment, is my prayer. I will send you a few paragraphs copied from a testimony written many years ago. God is love. Had you cherished his love as it is your privilege to do, you would not now be as you are. But you have thought yourself capable of molding yourself. This has been the greatest error of your life. Your self-esteem and self-confidence have caused you to lose sight of the great pattern, Christ Jesus. If God had love enough to lead him to give up his son to an ignominious death for the salvation of the world, has he not love enough to hear the earnest cry of your soul for yourself and your family? You have talked, talked, talked of the failings of others. This influence has harmed your wife and daughter, and they, like you, have made crooked paths for your feet. Oh, that the God of heaven will help you to see where you have stumbled. Examine yourself by the light of God's word. Place your feet on the platform of eternal truth. Seek the Lord while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near. The cross of Calvary is a standing pledge that until sin and sorrow, want and woe shall be no more, God will keep us in our struggles against the enemy. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, How shall he not with him freely give us all things necessary for our good and his glory? Romans 8, verse 32. Consider seriously the solemn declaration of Christ. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Matthew 11, verse 27. Have you caught a glimpse of the spotless purity of the character of God? Do you realize how pure we must be before we can see his face? Have you seen the glory of his power? And are you so humbled by your own nothingness that in contrition you come to the cross of Calvary saying, In my hands no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Can you renounce all self-trust, all self-confidence, all boasting, and accept Christ as made unto you wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? If you have failed to gain a correct knowledge of God and eternal realities, your faith, your wisdom, your righteousness are as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In the prayer which just before his death Christ offered for his disciples, he said, This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17, verse 3.
Will you, children of my dear Savior, bought with the price of his blood, give yourselves unreservedly to him? Will you make a covenant with God in Christ, he who is just and true, full of love and tender compassion? God in Christ. Oh, the immensity of the thought!